Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 16th of June 2008, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear about researchers who are blowing nano-sized bubbles and making them last for more than a year, nano-sized robots that can self-assemble, and how nanotubes are being used to repair cartilage. In this week's Azo Nano interview, Ian Birkby speaks to NanoSurf's Ola Modinger about a nanotech meets space travel story in which NASA have taken an AFM designed by NanoSurf and placed it on the surface of Mars in the search for extraterrestrial life. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. A team of researchers at Harvard University have modelled in the laboratory a primitive cell or protocell that is capable of building, copying and containing DNA. Since there are no physical records of what the first primitive cells on Earth looked like or how they grew and divided, the research team's protocell project offers a useful way to learn about how Earth's earliest cells may have interacted with their environment approximately 3.5 billion years ago. The protocell's fatty acid membrane allows chemical compounds, including the building blocks of DNA, to enter into the cell without the assistance of the protein channels and pumps required by today's highly developed cell membranes. Also, unlike modern cells, the protocell does not use enzymes for copying its DNA. A University of Bath academic who oversees a global effort to develop an open-source machine that prints 3D objects is celebrating after the prototype machine succeeded in making a set of its own printed parts. The machine, named RepRap, was exhibited publicly at the Cheltenham Science Festival. RepRap is sought for Replicating Rapid Prototyper and employs a technique called additive fabrication. The machine works a bit like a printer, but rather than squirting ink onto paper, it puts down thin layers of molten plastic which solidify. These layers are built up to make useful three-dimensional objects. RepRap has, so far, been capable of making everyday plastic goods such as door handles, sandals and coat hooks. Now the machine has also succeeded in copying all its own 3D printed parts. The possibilities are endless. Now, people can make exactly what they want. If the design of an existing object does not quite suit their needs, they can easily redesign it on their PC and print that out, instead of making do with a mass-produced, second-best design from the shops. Research performed at the US Department of Energy's Thomas Jefferson National Accelerator Facility has found that protons are about 20 times more likely to pair up with neutrons than with other protons in the nucleus. The result, based on the first ever simultaneous measurement of such pairings and their constituents, could have implications for understanding the structure of nuclear systems from light nuclei to neutron stars. Protons and neutrons, or nucleons, in the nucleus of the atom can form a brief pairing with other nucleon, a phenomenon known as short-range correlation. Previous experiments have shown that roughly one-fifth of nucleons at any one time were in short-range correlations. When combined with a theoretical calculation of the effects of proton-neutron correlations on the momentum distribution of the nucleons in neutron stars, the result also indicates that the presence of short-range correlations may have a disproportionately large effect on neutron star structure. Scientists have long wrestled with how to aid those who suffer cartilage damage and loss. One popular way is to inject an artificial gel that can imitate cartilage's natural ability to act as the body's shock absorber. But that solution is temporary, requiring follow-up injections. Now, Brown University nanotechnology specialist Thomas Webster has found a way to regenerate cartilage naturally by creating a synthetic surface that attracts cartilage-forming cells. These cells are then coaxed to multiply through electrical pulses. It's the first study that has shown enhanced cartilage regeneration using this method. Webster and his team found that the tubes, due to their unique surface properties, work well for stimulating cartilage-forming cells known scientifically as chondrocytes. The nanotube's surface is rough. Viewed under a microscope, it looks like a bumpy landscape. Yet, that uneven surface closely resembles the contours of natural tissue, so cartilage cells see it as a natural environment to colonize. The team plans to test the cartilage regeneration method procedure with animals, and if that's successful, to conduct the research on humans. In a development that could lead to new technologies for cleaning up oil spills and polluted groundwater, scientists at Rice University have shown how tiny stick-shaped particles of metal and carbon can trap oil droplets in water by spontaneously assembling into bag-like sacs. The tiny particles were found to assemble spontaneously by the tens of millions into spherical sacs as large as BB pellets around droplets of oil in water. In addition, the scientists found that ultraviolet light and magnetic fields could be used to flip the nanoparticles, causing the bags to instantly turn inside out and release their cargo, a feature that could ultimately be handy for delivering drugs. The multi-segmented nanowires, akin to nanoscale batons, were made by connecting two nanomaterials with different properties, much like an eraser is attached to the end of a wooden pencil. In the study, the researchers started with carbon nanotubes. Atop the nanotubes, they added short segments of gold. According to the researchers, by adding various other segments, like sections of nickel and other materials, the researchers can create truly multifunctional nanostructures. Microscopic robots crafted to maneuver separately without any obvious guidance are now assembling into self-organized structures after years of continuing research led by a Duke University computer scientist. Each micro-robot is shaped something like a spatula, but with dimensions measuring just microns. They are almost 100 times smaller than any previous robotic designs of their kind and weigh even less. Formerly known as micro-electromechanical systems, or MEMS micro-robots, the devices are of suitable scale for Lilliputian tasks, such as moving around the interiors of laboratories on a chip. Propelling themselves across such surfaces in an inchworm-like fashion, impelled by a scratch-drive motion actuator, the micro-robots advance in steps only 10 to 20 billionths of a meter each, but repeated as often as 20,000 times a second. The micro-robots can be so small because they're not encumbered by leash-like tethers attached to an external control system. Built with microchip fabrication techniques, they're each designed to respond differently to the same single global control signal as voltages change and discharge on their working parts. With the aid of kitchen mixers, engineers at Harvard's School of Engineering and Applied Sciences have whipped up, for the first time, permanent nanoscale bubbles. Bubbles that endure for more than a year. From batches of foam made from a mixture of glucose syrup, sucrose stearate, and water. Smaller bubbles have a greater surface tension and a higher gas pressure than larger ones. As a result, larger bubbles usually grow at the expense of smaller ones, which have very short lifetimes. The experimental study, conducted by SEAS graduate students in collaboration with Unilever colleagues, revealed that when the bubbles were covered with the chosen surfactant mixture, the surfactant molecules crystallized to form nearly impermeable shells over the bubble surfaces. The resulting shells possessed an elasticity that allowed them to buckle over time into remarkably regular and stable patterns. Measurements of the microbubbles' stability extended over more than a year, and the structural integrity of the bubbles held for the entire period. In this week's interview, AzoNano's Ian Berkby speaks to NanoSurf's Ola Modinger about a nanotech meets space travel story in which NASA have taken an atomic force microscope designed by NanoSurf and placed it on the surface of Mars in the search for extraterrestrial life.
Today I have with me Ola Modinger from NanoSurf, who's the head of sales and marketing. Good morning, Ola.
Good morning, Ian.
Now, you have some extremely interesting news. I was at a presentation last night where your company were talking about your activities on Mars. Can you give us a little bit of background about that, Ola?
Yeah, it goes back actually down to already in the beginning of the early 90s, where it was launched. It was planned from NASA to send a mission to Mars, and they wanted to have an AFM on board, so we developed an AFM. And unfortunately, that was mission was canceled or delayed. But now we have our AFM, our also, I would say, enhanced AFM on Mars, arrived 1 week ago and has been 10 months traveling through the space.
Now, this is it's an amazing story because an AFM, to most people, an atomic force microscope, is a very precise and some would say fragile device. So how have you been able to, or have NASA been able to, place such a device on the surface of Mars and enable it to continue operating?
Yeah, it's, of course, I have to mention that we also have strategic partners throughout the development of this, and it's been also close cooperation with NASA. However, NASA had very, very harsh specification and requirements, as they have to rely on any type of equipment they set up that has to work. Mm-hmm. So it is extremely ruggedized AFM, which is, I would say, also aimed to be able to operate in really, really extreme conditions, as within minus 60 degrees Celsius wind, or also travel through space, be able also to arrive on Mars with all that, what happens with that.
And do you know, is it actually operating now? Has it arrived safely and is it working?
They have run all kinds of tests on the equipment on the Mars, on the Phoenix lander. They have done frequency sweep on the cantilevers, and that seems to be fine. We got actually this morning, as we speak, our first image, an optical image of the cantilevers, and they are in place and fine, and we hope they will start soon to operate the AFM.
That's absolutely incredible news. I mean, it really is a boy's own story, isn't it? Being able to do a science experiment on the surface of Mars. Your team must be incredibly excited.
Yeah, it's a dream, of course, for us as well. And, of course, we were all at the company, more or less, at the early morning Central European time, looking at NASA TV when it was arriving. So that was extremely interesting early morning, I would say, and we were sharing and really, really happy that NASA was able to manage the landing so good.
So it's really a case of nanotech meets space travel, which is a terrific story. What type of experiments are you looking to conduct, or are NASA looking to conduct using your atomic force microscope?
Yeah, with the atomic force microscope, as this is the only instrument on board which can detect and determine if there's any type of signs of life on Mars soil. So there are a lot of other type of equipments on board the space, so this Phoenix lander from this scoop arm with the drill on board, really to pick up this material from the soil, which would then be analyzed by the optical microscopes, and which will also be positioned, and then we will analyze it with an AFM.
And I believe, in addition to the great news about the Mars landing, this week is also here at Nanotech 2008 has been a big week for you, because you've also established a company in the States as well.
That is also true. So we have done actually two important milestones within a week. So first, we successfully arrived and lands on Mars, and as by yesterday, we officially also opened up our doors for NanoSurfing Incorporated here in the United States.
Terrific news. You've now sold, would I be right in saying, about 2,000 of your systems worldwide?
Yes, besides the one which is on Mars as well, correct.
And what are the major applications these days for your atomic force microscopes? Is it possible to characterize where they go and the types of applications where they're used?
The majority of our AFMs are still, and that's also the aim of the company when we were established 11 years ago. Actually, today is our birthday. 11 years we celebrate today as we speak. Mm. So it's pretty intensive time, and this is, of course, we have for the education and teaching market. So, and this is, I would say, the majority of our customers all around the globe. So for the ease of use, the reliability, the compact size, and of course to be able to afford to have an AFM for teaching purposes.
For the benefit of people listening to this podcast, I think it's quite interesting to actually describe the AFM that you put on the surface of Mars, because it's a relatively small device, isn't it? How big is it?
First of all, to my knowledge, I think it's the smallest AFM ever been developed for any kind of purpose. It's not more than, I would say, than 4.5 centimeters wide and 1.5 centimeters high. And in there we have also an array with 8 cantilevers mounted, which can operate both in contact and non-contact mode, which is pretty impressive in such a small kind of AFM.
Absolutely. And where do you see the company going from here? Do you see a good future for atomic force microscopes?
Definitely. We have a really, really interesting growth within the company. We have a steady growth. We are not a company which are really taking shortcuts we're pretty systematic, as maybe many Swiss companies are, I have to say. So we try to do things in an orderly manner. And, of course, we see a lot of demands increasing all over the globe.
And do you see it as an advantage, the fact that you are headquartered in Switzerland?
Yeah, I would say so. As more in particular in the Basel area, which is somehow I would call the Nano Valley, as we have the Silicon Valley here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of know-how competencies around the Basel area, and we benefit, of course, a lot from that. So we have highly skilled people. People would like to work with us. And what is also important, that people stay with the company.
Well, Ola, I think it's a terrific story, and we're looking forward to hearing a lot more about the AFM and its performance on Mars. And we wish you all the best for NanoSurf in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much as well, Ian.
ASA Nano Business News. Unidyme Incorporated, a majority-owned subsidiary of Arrowhead Research Corporation, and Battelle have extended their existing relationship to include an alliance focused on multifunctional nanocomposites for aerospace and transportation applications. Under the alliance, the companies will collaborate with aerospace and automotive companies and their composite material suppliers, which require carbon nanotube formulating coatings, sealants, adhesives and load-bearing composites. Lucas Howald, chairman of the board of directors and co-founder of NanoSurf, officially announced the opening of a NanoSurf subsidiary in the US during his talk on the company's contribution to the NASA Phoenix Mars mission at the Swiss Pavilion at the NSTI Nanotech 2008 Nanotechnology Conference and Trade Show at the Heinz Convention Center, Boston, Massachusetts. To react to the increasing global demand for easy-to-use nanomicroscopes in science and industry, NanoSurf AG decided to establish its own subsidiary in the US, NanoSurf Incorporated, to match this growing need. Complementing the services of NanoScience, distributor of NanoSurf products in the US and specialist for the education market, the field in which NanoSurf is world leader as provider of scanning probe microscopes, US customers can now be served more directly by combining the resources and expertise of the two companies. Nanometrics Incorporated, a leading supplier of advanced process control metrology equipment, today announced the introduction of its largest integrated metrology system, Impulse. Following the innovative 9000 and 9010 IM systems, the Nanometrics Impulse is a 300mm real-time metrology system used to monitor vital CMP, CVD, etch, and photolithography process applications for 32 nanometer nodes and beyond. The system combines the industry's most advanced technology and best cost of ownership for thin film and optical critical dimension metrology in an IM platform. Physic Instrument has extended its line of piezo stages for scanning microscopy applications. The P737 Piezo Z focusing stage is offered along with the stiffer P726 high-performance microscope lens focusing system for large NA microscope objectives and the redesigned P686 XY piezo motor positioning stage, providing long travel ranges to 25 by 25 millimeters. The M686 XY coarse positioning stage can also accommodate an XY/Z nano positioning scanning piezo stage to provide the resolution required in single molecule or near field microscopy. Its ultrasonic piezo motors are self-locking and hold a position precisely even when powered down. Well, that was ASA Nano News for the week commencing the 16th of June 2008. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at asonano.com. To read expanded versions of the story,